In 1836, when Nathan Rothschild died in Frankfurt, his wealth represented 0.62% of Britain's entire GDP, equivalent to roughly $3.7 billion today. That's wealthier, proportionally, than Bill Gates at his peak. But here's what makes this truly staggering. Nathan had started just 40 years earlier as a textile merchant in Manchester with modest capital from his father. How does a Jewish family confined to Frankfurt's cramped ghetto, where houses stood just 14 feet wide, transform into what contemporaries called the sixth great power of Europe within a single generation? The answer lies not in a single brilliant mind, but in an unprecedented family strategy that created the world's first multinational corporation. Five brothers, stationed in five cities, moved money across war-torn Europe faster than armies could march, turning chaos into opportunity and transforming how nations themselves would borrow, spend, and survive. Orphaned at 12, Mayor Amschel Rothschild mastered rare coins in Hanover, the 18th century equivalent of vintage watches. This expertise opened aristocratic doors. By his mid-20s, he'd become court agent to William, hereditary prince of Hesse Castle. His 1770 marriage to Gutel Schnapper brought dowry and connections. Over two decades, he built annual income reaching 2,400 gulden, comparable to Goethe's family. In 1787, he purchased a larger Judengasse house for 11,000 gulden, still 14 feet wide, but with three stories and space for Gutel's 19 children. 10 survived. The 1790s transformed him from dealer to banker. By 1797, his fur held 843,485 gulden in assets, with networks spanning Amsterdam, Paris, and London. The French Revolution's 1796 bombardment destroyed half the Judengasse, yet created opportunities, relaxed restrictions, and army contracts. Mayor Amschel grasped a truth. Crisis redistributes wealth to the positioned. When Nathan Rothschild reached Manchester around 1799, he exploited Britain's textile boom by paying manufacturers upfront for 15 to 20% discounts while borrowing from London bankers at 3 months. This timing gap created profit. He kept margins modest, 5% on cash purchases, 9% on continental shipments, to undercut competitors. Nathan's textile business generated $40,000 annually from $800,000 turnover, substantial but war vulnerable. His 1806 marriage to Hannah Cohen brought capital and access to London's Jewish elite. By 1808, he was recognized as a banker as the Napoleonic Wars created unprecedented opportunities. Between 1813 and 1815, the Rothschilds handled over 15 million in transfers for the British government, equivalent to billions today. Traditional methods, ships carrying gold, were slow, dangerous, and vulnerable to French capture. Nathan devised something revolutionary. Instead of physically shipping gold, he used his brother's continental connections to create a financial network spanning multiple countries. British gold purchased bills of exchange in London, which his brothers cashed on the continent, providing immediate funds to Allied armies without risking a single coin crossing the channel. British Commissary General J.C. Harris noted the Rothschilds accomplished in hours what previously took weeks. Their success rate was remarkable, virtually no losses despite wartime chaos. The five brothers could rely on each other implicitly, in ways no conventional partnership could match. The Battle of Waterloo in 1815 cemented Nathan's legend as he exploited price differentials across European markets with surgical precision. After Mayor Amschel's death in 1815, his five sons executed history's most successful family business strategy by spreading across Europe's financial centers. Amschel held Frankfurt, Solomon took Vienna, Nathan dominated London, Karl established Naples, and James developed Paris. Their coat of arms, five arrows clutched in a fist, embodied their unified strategy. Their 1815 partnership agreement balanced individual initiative with collective strength. Nathan's superior London performance earned him 27% capital share, while younger brothers Karl and James received 16% each. By 1818, phenomenal growth necessitated revision. Nathan received half of London profits, brothers 1/8 each, reflecting London's emergence as the world's financial capital. This multinational structure provided unprecedented advantages, arbitrage opportunities across markets, faster information access, and comprehensive international services. During the 1830 revolutions, when James faced severe losses in Paris, Nathan mobilized $779,000 in gold and silver from London within days. Their private courier network, fast horses and carrier pigeons, enabled responses faster than governments could act. Financial resilience through geographic diversification executed with family trust. The Rothschilds revolutionized government finance by creating a truly international bond market. Between 1815 to 1859, the London House alone issued 50 government loans, totaling around $250 million, roughly a tenth of total British overseas assets in the 1850s. Their clients spanned Europe, France, Austria, Prussia, Russia, Belgium, Naples, German principalities, even the papacy. Bond prices became daily confidence votes in regimes. Their decision to underwrite a loan signaled stability. Refusal suggested weakness. By 1825, their combined 4 million capital was 9 times Baring Brothers and exceeded even the Banque de France's 3 million. This power brought peril. In 1848, revolutionaries targeted them as capitalism's symbols, ransacking Salomon's villa, attacking railways, posting Paris lists of their 600,000 francs. The Paris House's 170 million francs in bonds lost half their value by April. They survived because the revolutions failed and because Mayor Amschel's Concordia principle, their multinational structure, allowed stable houses to rescue struggling ones. After 1848, the Rothschilds pivoted from government finance to railways. Solomon secured a 200-mile line connecting Vienna with Galicia and Moravia's mines by naming it Kaiser Ferdinand's Nordbahn and placing statesmen on the board. James became France's railway king, obtaining the Northern Railway to Belgium in 1845. Between 1828-1848, the Rothschilds provided 84.6 million francs, 38% of all bank contributions, and nearly a tenth of France's total railway capital for its approximately 1,250 miles of track. These investments transformed their image from government financiers to industrial capitalists, but intensified anti-Semitic attacks. When a Nord railway accident killed dozens in 1846, critics called them vampires of commerce. The Rothschilds embodied modernity's contradictions, building infrastructure that connected nations while facing accusations of exploitation. Their railway empire reshaped Europe's landscape, linking markets and people in unprecedented ways. The Rothschilds faced relentless anti-Jewish sentiment, but refused conversion. "I am a Jew in the depths in my heart," Karl wrote in 1814. When Hannah Meyer Rothschild married Christian Henry Fitzroy in 1839, James declared she had robbed our whole family of its pride and vowed never to see her again. This wasn't merely conviction, it was strategic. The family developed systematic cousin marriages with detailed legal agreements, keeping substantial dowries within the clan, preventing capital dispersal, and ensuring outsiders couldn't acquire shares of the fortune. The Rothschilds rose from a 14-foot-wide Frankfurt ghetto house to control more wealth than most nations. They weren't merely bankers, they were architects of modernity. Their multinational structure anticipated global firms. Their bond market innovations transformed government finance. Their railway investments drove Europe's industrialization. Their real lesson? Success at scale requires systems that outlast personalities, trust that transcends borders, and vision that sees opportunity in chaos. The Rothschilds understood that in upheaval, money flows to those positioned to catch it.